So, what's your favorite food?
I don't know.
Come on, I can name a whole bunch. Flat cheese. Yeah. Yum. My favorite food is pizza. Hence, we're having pizza for Wednesday night. And chocolate. So, when you talk about food, do you get hungry? Doesn't a pizza kind of sound good right now? Yeah. Well, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is in the wilderness, and he goes into the wilderness. He's there for 40 days, and he has no food. Can you imagine going 40 days without food? Some days I can't go 40 minutes. So 40 days would be not good. So after 40 days, the devil comes, and he tempts Jesus. And he says to him, if you are who you are, you can turn the stone into bread. You think Jesus did it? He didn't do it. And then he told Jesus that from the very top of the temple, Jesus could jump off, and it was really a high building. What do you think would happen if Jesus jumped off that building? You think he'd hurt himself? I think he'd hurt himself, yeah. He'd break a leg, or I don't know, even he could even die from jumping from a big building. So Jesus didn't jump. So the next time they're on a mountain, and the devil says to him, you look out over and you see all this land, and it can all be yours. If you would just worship me, meaning the devil. You think Jesus did that? Nope. Each time the devil tried to tempt him, what does tempting mean? Do you know what it means to be tempted? It means that you do something that you know you're not supposed to. And it could be maybe sometimes we're tempted to tell a lie. Sometimes we're tempted to take that chocolate egg that belongs to someone else. So that's what it means to be tempted. So Jesus was tempted to do these things, but he knew that it wasn't right. And every time he was tempted, he would say, when he was tempted about the bread, turning the stones into bread, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when he was tempted to jump off the roof of the temple, Jesus said, again, it is written, you shall not test the Lord your God. So those words are real important. It is written. And when he was tempted to worship the devil, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only. So Jesus knew those words, it was written, was real important. Where do you suppose it was written at? I told you the answer. Was it in the Bible? It was written in the Bible, and the Bible is God's word. So Jesus knew he had to do what God wanted him to do, and God wanted him to be tempted and not to follow the devil's, what the devil wanted him to do. And we all have to be like that. When we're tempted, we have to remember, we have to do what God wants us to do. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this holy Bible. Thank you for the words that are written to help us live the way you want us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That message. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel reading is from Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, since you're God's son, command these stones to become bread. Jesus replied, it's written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God. After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone.'" Jesus replied, "Again, it's written, 'Don't test the Lord your God.'" Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it's written, 'You will worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" The devil left him, and the angels came and took care of him. So ends the reading. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are a lot of Sundays during the church year that have titles: Pentecost Sunday, Trinity Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday. The first Sunday of Lent, if it were to get its own name, I think it would probably be called Temptation Sunday. On this Sunday, we are 4 days into our freshly decided upon Lenten disciplines. And now, in the Genesis story, we hear about Adam and Eve and the serpent, along with Jesus' time in the wilderness. Today, there is temptation all around us. And Oscar Wilde says, "I can resist anything except temptation." We all know the story of Adam and Eve and the snake in the garden. It's one of those that we all learn probably in Sunday school. But do we really know the story? For instance, how many of us believe that the fruit that was bitten was an apple? Nowhere in the story does it say that. It was a piece of fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as one writer says, the fruit on the tree probably tasted better than the fruit of all the other trees combined. It probably tasted like a cross between fresh pineapple and ripe cherries. But because some Renaissance painter took the liberty of making the fruit an apple, we all know now the story that way. And what about the underlying fault in the story? Isn't this really a story about the fact that women are the cause of all the sin in the world? Isn't it really that message? If only Eve hadn't been tricked by Satan, we would still be enjoying living in the Garden of Eden. Now, as much as men would like to believe it so, the answer is no. That's not the point at all. And there's nothing in the story that says the serpent was Satan. Satan doesn't really even come into the biblical narrative for 16 more books. Job is the first real mention of Satan. And this is a crafty serpent, a tempter. It doesn't have to be evil, only tempting. But more importantly, it really didn't matter which one, whether Adam or Eve, took the first bite of the fruit. The point is, neither one of them was able to resist temptation. And the temptation wasn't to eat something forbidden or even to disobey God's rule. Instead, they were tempted to want to be God or to be God-like. Ultimately, Adam and Eve were rejected from the garden, but that doesn't mean that we would still be living in paradise if not for them. There is little doubt that even if it hadn't been for the first family, someone, somewhere, would have gotten us kicked out long before now, because it is human nature to fail at resisting temptation, especially temptation to be God. When we think of temptation during the Lenten season, we generally think of those things that we have sworn off and how many of them seem to be around us, tempting us to break our new vows. Have you given up chocolate? That's all that's advertised on TV, isn't it? Everywhere you go, you smell chocolate. It's tempting to give in just for that one candy bar. I've given up chocolate. I went to lunch with one of my friends, and she said to me, "I know you love Cadbury eggs." So she handed me a Cadbury egg, and I do love Cadbury eggs. And I said, "Thank you." And she said, "Well, aren't you going to eat it?" I said, "No, I gave up chocolate for Lent." So she said, "Well, I'll take it back." And I said, "Oh, no. I'm putting it in my freezer, and that's where it is." Sometimes people give up things like going out to eat. And isn't that the time when everybody and anyone you ever known, even years ago, is calling you up asking you if you want to go out to eat? It's not really that way, but we are fixated on that which we cannot have, making it more difficult to stay away from temptation. But these are not really temptations at all, not ones of great significance anyway. No, the temptations that are important are those of Adam and Eve's and Jesus. Jesus had gone 40 days without food when the tempter came to him. Matthew tells us he was starving. Now, I'd be dead, or at least close to it, if I went 40 days. I have a tough time going from sunrise to sunset without food. So Jesus is starving when the tempter appears and says, "If you're hungry, turn a rock into bread." That's a snack for the Son of God. But this isn't about hunger. It's about whether Jesus is going to trust God or co-opt God's power and change the nature of the rock for his own purposes. So Jesus resists temptation and moves on, still hungry, but trusting God. Next, the tempter says, "Hey, if you really want to impress people, jump off the top of the temple. The angels will float you safely to the ground if you are who you think you are." Jesus was tempted by this to use his God-given powers to put on a show and to make people believe that he was supernatural. Note that Satan quotes the scriptures to Jesus when he tempts him. Satan says, "I know God's word too, and in Psalms 91 it says the angels will guard you." Again, Jesus resists temptation by trusting God and says, "No, I don't think it's wise to put God to the test." And then finally, the tempter offers Jesus the whole world to rule and to have to worship him. This was the obvious temptation for Jesus to take all God's power and God's place in the world. Satan doesn't really have the ability to make this offer to Jesus because we know the world and all that is in it belongs to God, and Jesus knows and trusts that. So Jesus says to the tempter, "Take a hike. We're all called to worship God, not this man you see before you, and certainly not you." These stories are meant to tell us that it is our human nature to want to be like God. Adam and Eve were promised that they would be like God if only they would eat from the same tree God ate from. And Jesus was promised all the attributes of God, ability to change nature to suit his own purposes, angels to serve him in the adoration of the world, if only they would allow themselves to take God's place. But Jesus was right to trust God. We are all called to worship God and only God, and for that we can give thanks. Have you ever had the responsibility of a big project, something that had lots of people's hopes riding on it? And have you stayed awake at night worrying about whether or not all the details were handled? Have you neglected family and friends while you agonized and fretted over the minute details of this project? That's trying to be the God of your life. Anytime we take the amount of control, we're trying to exercise the power of God in our own lives. You see, we don't really want to be God. Not really. We wouldn't want to hear billions of prayers all the time or have to listen to people whine about things not being perfect in their lives. No, what we want is to be God of our lives. We want absolute power over the things around us. We want to be able to make it rain when we're hot and make it to stop when we have a barbecue plan. But mostly, we want everything to go right in our lives. We want smart, well-behaved children, lots of money, perfect teeth, small hips, or lots of muscles. But we know that we can't have those things, so we try to take a hold of all the little details we can in order to have a sense of control, no matter how silly that sense may be. What tempts you to try to be God? Is it a desire to change the choices that your spouse or children have made? How about the need to have everyone else think the way you do? Do any of these sound familiar to you? If I don't do it, it won't get done right. I know it's taking too long, but if I just work on it for a little while longer, I can make it so much better. If everyone would just pay attention to me and do it my way, things would turn out the way they should. Recognize any of those? They're all about trying to be God, trying to control all the things in your world so that everything can turn out into your image. That's the greatest temptation of all. But we cannot be God. We don't have God's power or ability or even God's sense of humor. So instead, we end up being pains in the neck for someone else rather than being godly. Instead of seeking after perfection, instead of trying to get everyone around us to be like us, this Lent, why don't we take a real, honest look at ourselves and try to change ourselves to be more like Christ? When we're tempted to judge someone else or try to take a hold of all the details of things, why don't we try to recognize that God is God and we're not, and trust in God's grace and perfection? We should ask God to come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as God knows our weaknesses, let each one find God mighty to save. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we ask you this Lenten season to help us be more like Christ. Lord, we ask you to help us take away those temptations that we always have. Lord, we ask you to be more like Christ and to do the things that you want us to do, to live the way that you want us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.